Well, we have a wonderful, blessed treat today. Our spiritual daughter, niece, wonderful woman of God, many of us have watched her grow up from Nihato grasshopper to a wonderful, glorious woman of God. And she has great passion and a spirit of excellence. And we are just so humbled and honored by her whole family being family with us together. And we're grateful for her following her passion, and she's a student at UNC Greensboro and Zumba instructor and many other things, counselor, and we just are grateful for her and we love her. So we welcome Rochelle Blash.
Hello, thank you for letting me speak to you. Is he gracious? getting set up here.
Take your time. You have extra notes that you can put down here. You want to go
I'm going to jump around a little bit, and if you guys want to interject anything or have questions, it's very flexible and conversational. So I'm going to talk to you about healthy living. And my thing about eating healthy and being active and stuff is not about the weight or about, things like that, but it's just about overall health. So there's like... There are three keys to healthy eating, and I've said this before. It's moderation, balance, and variety. And I've added my own accountability because this year, starting nutrition, we had in one of my classes, we had to track what we ate for 3 days. And that's actually what made me stop eating so bad, because it's like you see what you're actually putting in your body. You see the amounts of things you're putting in your body, and it kind of just helps you. You're accountable for it. You can't just forget about it. You're writing it down. So that really helps me. But with moderation, you can guess what that is. Just not eating a bunch of junk. But that's also, you just don't want to eat a bunch of anything, really. Because you can get toxic levels of vitamins and minerals in your system, even if you're eating the right stuff. It's hard, but it can happen. And that also ties into variety. Because if you're eating like one food, you're going to have all this one vitamin or whatever's in that food, but you're not going to get the rest of what you need. So you need that variety so that you can get all the different types of vitamins and minerals that are found in the different food groups and the different foods within the food groups. And with balance, that's about the macronutrient distribution, which is like your carbs, your protein, and your fat. You need to make sure you have a good balance of those. You don't want a lot of fat or a lot of protein or a lot of carbs, but you also don't want to have, more fat than carbs, which I'll get to that in a second. So like I said, there's the micronutrients are the vitamins and minerals, because you don't need a ton of these. You only need a small amount of vitamins and minerals. And there are water-soluble vitamins and fat-soluble vitamins. So the water-soluble, those are like, I pretty much know it's C and all the Bs, like B12 and all that. Fat-soluble, there's four. There's A, D, E, and K. And those are the ones that are going to stay in your system longer and kind of accumulate, because they're going to stay in the fat. So those are the ones that can actually reach the toxic levels because they're not being excreted out like the water-soluble ones. So that's why if you're eating a right diet with variety, balance, and moderation, you don't really need supplements because you're getting all that through your diet. And when you're using supplements, sometimes they're not really all that well vetted, so you don't actually know what's in them. So you don't always know what's in them, and it's just not needed, really. It's not necessary. If there's a certain ailment, it can be helpful to you, but it's not something that's a required thing. And with vitamins and minerals, certain things, all the food is going to interact with each other. So when you have too much of one vitamin, you might be missing out on absorbing something else. But on the other side, like vitamin D, it helps with absorbing calcium. So you want to make sure you have both of those in your diet so that you're actually getting the benefit of having that. Because if you just have calcium, it may not be absorbed and it's not going to do you much good. You need that vitamin D and calcium, which vitamin D is one of the things that are lacking in the American diet. That's usually deficient, along with potassium. That's deficient as well. But the one thing we're not deficient in at all is sodium. We have a ton of sodium in our diet, and that is a problem that really comes from the processed foods, which I'll talk about in a minute. But now we're going to talk about the macronutrients. These are the protein, carbs, and fat. And I'm sorry, I wanted to go over this title, You Are What You Eat, because you're made up of the food that you eat. You're going to digest it, and like proteins, they help repair things. So if you're eating the wrong things, it's going to reflect in the way that you're able to function because you don't have the necessary building blocks. So there are 4 calories per gram in proteins. There's 4 calories per gram of carbohydrates and 9 calories per gram of fat. This is a distribution range. So you can see carbohydrates, you need a lot of those. And I believe this is so high because that's going to include your fruits and vegetables. So it's not just like a whole bunch of bread and stuff. You want to have a high amount of, you know, broccoli and things of that nature. For protein, there's plant and animal protein. I will always probably advocate eating meat because it's just easier for our body to access the protein and some of the other, like iron. You need the iron. You can get all that from plants. You can have a plant-based diet and be healthy, but you have to plan a lot more. And there's just certain things that, like there's fiber in plants that sometimes will affect the way you're able to absorb things. So there's, they kind of inhibit some absorption sometimes because there's the insoluble and soluble fiber, which I forget which one does which, but one of them is going to slow down your digestion. So that you're not like, if it's a low glycemic food, it's usually high fiber because that fiber is going to help you not absorb that glucose too fast. It slows it down and makes it better for you to use it for energy. And that's actually also with carbohydrates. You want those because those are what's primarily used for energy. But if you kind of cut out, I know a lot of people do the low carb or no carb diet, but I think the problem with that is that you're going to use protein or fat for your energy. And if you use like protein for your energy, it's going to be hindering on what you can do with repairing organs and rebuilding and stuff like that. And all three of these are found in your membrane. So you have your fat, which like here is saturated, unsaturated, and trans fat. And if you have a bunch of, the reason why saturated fat, I don't know if you guys know this, but saturated fat is not the best fat you want because it's just kind of like a straight, I don't know how to describe it, but it's not flexible. Unsaturated fat is more the liquid stuff. That's the oil. Saturated fat is going to be your meats and your butter. So
butter can be liquid.
Well, that's the margarine, and we'll get to that in a minute too. But at room temperature, the state it is at the room temperature is what kind of shows the saturation level. So unsaturated means that there's double bonds in between the carbons of the fat, because there's a long hydrocarbon chain, there we go. And so because there's double bonds, there's kinks and they don't stack, so they're not gonna be as solid. Whereas saturated fats, they're gonna stack, they're gonna be solid. And for your membranes, you want a fluid membrane so that things can get through, so that vitamins and minerals can get through, things of that nature. And you really never want trans fats. It's pretty much impossible to avoid, I would say. But you really don't want those in your diet because they're altered. They're usually man-made. I think there's maybe a few instances of natural occurring trans fats, but they're man-made and they're just not something that your body can really use. And of course, water is a macronutrient because you need that. You're made up of a ton of water. So you want to make sure you get your water in. It can even help you if you're tired. You can kind of be woken up because it's going to help you activate those organs and stuff like that. Make sure I'm not missing anything.
Yeah.
All right, so one thing I do want to talk about is things are always changing. So there's lots of debates. I think if you probably have heard about recently, they're saying coconut oil is not healthy. But I've also seen, if you look at who funded that study, it was like the Canola Oil Foundation, and you have to see who's behind these studies. Because just like with butter versus margarine, they were claiming, and they really still do claim it's healthier because they hydrogenate the fat, which makes it, turns it from saturated to unsaturated, but it's really that it's gonna make it trans fat. So you're actually consuming trans fat with margarine, whereas butter, you're gonna have saturated fat, but you, even though you don't want a ton of that, you still need that in your body. So I would say it's still better just to eat the butter, just have moderation. And like with low fat milk or low fat anything, that seems good, because we really shouldn't be scared of fat. Because I think a lot of diets I see, they're always like, you know, cut the fat or whatever. You need fat. That is important. Like, you need every fat, protein, and carbohydrates. But with low-fat things, usually what they do is they add sugar. So you're not really, you're still going to be messed up either way. So you might not have the fat, but you're going to have the sugar, and that's going to add still calories, and you're missing fat that you could use in consuming empty calories with that sugar. So another change is with food labels. You might have seen this recently on some of your packaging, but they recently added some things to the food labels. So at the top here, you can kind of see that they've increased the visibility of the serving size. So people know that the whole package isn't what's on here. They're showing you one serving or a couple servings. So you have to do the math if you eat more than what the serving size is. Instead of just, some people will take this and say, oh, there's only 230 calories in this whole thing. No, that's per serving. And they made the calories bigger, so it's more visible. And they've also included, I don't know if you can see it, but under total carbohydrates and under, yeah, you can't see that. Under total sugars, it includes added sugars because there is a difference. There's the natural occurring sugars, and there is the additive, the refined sugars that are not good.
Is that why they have carbohydrate kind of quotients, and then they do list the sugar because it's pure sugar on the sugar thing?
Mm-hmm. And I'm actually still not 100% on it, because even here, like you can see, but it's 4 grams of fiber, 12 grams of sugar, and there's still a couple grams of something else, some other carbohydrate in there. So there's other carbohydrates. I have not figured that out. Somebody probably knows, and it's probably really simple. But I know that I've learned that when they taste sugar, they mean sucrose. I'm not sure that's 100% certain, because then there's like the other sugars that might be in there, that like there might be starch that's included in that carbohydrate amount. But they want you to see that there's fiber, and they want you to see that what the added sugars are, because you really want to try to limit how much added sugar you're eating, but natural sugars are fine to eat, but everything in moderation. They also included vitamin D and potassium and took out vitamin A and C, so because we are deficient in vitamin D and potassium, so they want you to know how much of that is in these foods. All right, so an important concept is to look at the nutrients of a food and not just the calories. Because I know a lot of people say, you know, there's pretty much the same amount of calories in a McDonald's salad as there is in a burger, but you're still gonna get a better macronutrient distribution from the salad than you will the burger. The burger is probably mostly fat and carbs and protein, whereas the salad, you're gonna get those antioxidants from the vegetables that are in there. And you can always modify. You can get grilled instead of crispy. You can get a different dressing on the salad. So there's ways you can get around that and still make a healthy choice. Because I know the big thing about that is this convenience. Having fast food is convenient, but you can still make healthy choices with fast food. And that also gets me into processed foods. So like I said, we do not lack any sodium in our diet, and that is probably mostly actually due to processed foods, because especially like canned foods, the way they're going to preserve stuff and the way they're keeping it so that you can eat it is by adding a bunch of sodium, and that is really a contributing factor to disease, and so is sugar. So added sugar, that's a huge thing in society, and the biggest contribution, the thing that has the most, the biggest contribution to added sugar in our American diet is soda, energy drinks, and sports drinks. Those things have tons of, I don't know if you can see the graphic, but like the Coca-Cola, there's mountains of sugar, Mountain Dew, all the beverages, they have tons of sugar. And they compare it to fruit, which has natural sugars, and it's still not even a ton of natural sugars. So added sugars, you can cut certain things out, limit soft drinks. The next biggest factor is grain-based desserts, and then fruit drinks and things of that nature. So, and the candy isn't even that big of a thing. It's usually going to be found in your beverages. There's like, I think I've looked at soda cans, there's usually like 40 grams of sugar maybe in there. And they recommend, there really is no daily value because you shouldn't have it at all, but they recommend, I think it was 50 grams of sugar is like reasonable, I think. 50 grams.
50 for a day?
Yeah. And so like if you drink a soda, you're pretty much done.
So isn't like sugar like 100 times more addictive than cocaine?
Yes, I was about to get to that. Thank you for reminding me. And that's the other part about added sugars is that they're very... it's very addictive. Yeah. And that goes into artificial sweeteners too. Those are, I talked to Helen about this recently, but those can increase your appetite. So all these things are going to keep, you're going to keep wanting more and more. So it's a cycle that you have to kind of get out of. And the way you get out of them is just cutting them out. However you need to do that. That might be, you know, just minimizing how many you have in a week. And then, you know, you have to start small because every step counts. So it doesn't have to be a big old grandiose thing. The thing that I really hate is I hate when people kind of shame people into being healthy. Because for one, that's not going to work. Nobody's going to, I've never seen anybody really change but anybody agree to being changed by being yelled at, really. I think it's about education, and it's about providing solutions, not just pointing out the problem. And added sugars also contribute to empty calories. So you're going to get all these calories, but they're not going to be doing anything for you. So it's better to eat something that's going to contribute to your health. So I would even say eat fat instead of the sugar, because the fat at least is going to help you with things in your body, help with the things that make up your body. And so, fun part, consequences of food choices. There are diseases that really could be prevented if we just ate better. But, you know, things happen all the time. Like, it's not like you eat good and you're going to be healthy, you know, for the rest of your life. Things happen. But there are ways you can kind of prevent those things. So, like, the sodium, that's going to increase your chance of getting hypertension. It's going to contribute to cardiovascular disease as well as trans fat, because it's going to shrink and stiffen those arteries. So the blood can't get through as well. And with the sugar, it's definitely related to diabetes. And there's lots of other diseases that if you just ate better, it could help prevent them. And also, like, eating your vegetables and fruits, they have antioxidants and things like that that help with the oxidative stress that happens in your body. So even if you have things that go on, your body can fight better if you have better defenses set up. So, but I don't ever go saying, like, eat this, don't do that, and it's all these rules and regulations, because food is more than just nourishment, more than just something that we use for fuel. Yeah, there we go. It's a cultural thing, it's a social thing, it's psychological. So when I say cultural, there's different, every culture has like a different way of eating, a different way of preparing their food. Some might be more healthy than others, but there is a thing that's in there that relates more to something deeper than what the food is. Social, you know, we gather around, we have feasts. That's just, you know, biblical too. There's feasts, and that's gathering around food and celebrating what God's given us. And with psychological impacts of food, I know in Greensboro, it's like a really big food desert. So we talk about how it's just, food isn't just something that you eat, you know. It triggers things in your brain. It can cause you to feel certain ways. Your mood can shift based on what you eat, which is also another reason why you should watch what you eat. Because if you're eating certain things, you might be more irritable. You might be, which I think is probably related to sugar mostly. But there's just a lot of effects that food can have on you. So I have a couple scriptures so we can relate this back to, because our flesh isn't going to be the thing that sustains how we choose to eat. It's something that we have to get through the Holy Spirit. So first, well, I probably have heard, but 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So, but this, and I'll actually read the other two. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. 1 Corinthians 10:23. And therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So these verses, what I feel the Lord is saying through these with in regards to food is that our food choices affect other people. Just if you're eating terribly, you're not going to be able to be there maybe for your family. You're not going to be able to be, it shows kind of lack of self-control when you're not able to say no to certain things that you know are bad. But again, that's the fruit of the Spirit. So that's something you don't have to do on your own. That's something you can get help from the Holy Spirit from, giving that self-control over food. And I said food may be overlooked as a spiritual discipline because it feeds the flesh, but our flesh is a temple. It's a vessel. So it's something that is seen. God uses what we look like. So making sure our flesh is in check helps us to kind of witness to others. And what we eat, like I said, it affects how we maybe interact with other people, and things of that nature. And also back to whatever, if things are lawful but not helpful. This goes back, I've said this a couple times to some people, how I've learned, they say like nutrition, there's no bad food, because you can eat stuff and it's going to, you know, go to something else, like it's going to do something most of the time. It's going to help, it's good, at least going to keep you full if it does nothing else. But you have to realize that not everything is going to promote longevity or promote your body being able to do, to work to its best capacity. So you have to kind of balance, weigh out what the food is doing and how it's affecting you. So here's a, I kind of have this in categories. But these verses to me talk about how part of the eating healthy is about planning and preparation. So Proverbs 23:20-21, do not mix with wine bibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Proverbs 14:23, in all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. In Ecclesiastes 4:12, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And these, to me, are saying, without a plan, you're going to fail in this journey of healthy eating. You have to, you know, be able to build your defenses, because what happens, I think you can maybe have good intentions and eat right when you're thinking about it, but if you're tired, if you're having a bad day, you might just go for the saltiest or sweetest thing, because that's what your body is telling you. Just do, like, it's going to go to your pleasure centers, like serotonin and dopamine. It's going to affect that. So your body's going to crave not what's good. But you have to say no to your flesh and be able to understand that a plan will help you in those times that you're not wanting to do. When you don't feel like it, if you have the plan, you'll at least have something, a step ahead of your feelings. And the last one about threefold cord not being broken. We have to encourage each other. It's good to be in community, to be able to help each other, keep accountable for what we're eating, and kind of maybe even give each other a break. Be like, you know, it's okay to indulge every once in a while. And that's different for everybody. There's no like, you can't have this, or you can only have this once a week or whatever. It's going to be different, and it's going to be based on your health. But if you're in community, you can lean on other people and not have that weight, just be on yourself. And this one, yeah, these kind of convey to me the freedom that we have as Christians when it comes to food. I know as I've been on this journey of kind of eating better, I kind of become obsessed, where I'm like, you know, I don't, you know, you hear about GMOs, you hear about all this stuff, and it's like, you can't avoid everything. You can't run out of fear of eating. You're going to have to eat, and you may not be able to get the best thing, but we don't have to be afraid of food, because Genesis 12:1-29 says, and God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. In Genesis 9:3, every moving thing, which is my favorite one, because I get to eat meat. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. So, because I know a lot of people will say, I've seen so many things about, like, since our teeth are a certain way, we should only be vegetarians, or, you know, just things like that. I'm like, God made it all. And it's good. God made it good. In 1 Timothy 4:4, for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. And further, earlier in the verse, or in the chapter, it says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanded to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. So we have a grace and a freedom that God's given us to eat and to enjoy the fullness that God's given us. And that, to me, goes back to Colossians 2:16 through 20, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but that goes into not being put under your own man-made laws, not being slaves to things just to be in what they say self-imposed religion, but to be truly free and to live by the Spirit, and not to just put rules to make yourself feel better and make yourself feel like you're doing something that is really not from God. So my next set of verses, that's fine, I don't need that. So the last bit, this was another thing for me, just like being college, I'm about to move into an apartment, and I'm gonna try to start cooking for myself and all that stuff. And I'm just like getting kind of overwhelmed with like, how do I pay for it? Cause it's like, you know, all the good food costs more and stuff like that. But then God just reminds me that he provides. Matthew 6:25-33, I kind of shorten it. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So there's no reason to stress over and obsess over finding the organic food or having money to buy the healthy food, because he will guide you to the right things. And that goes back to planning. Like, you're not just gonna be like, oh yeah, I can buy this. You have to make a plan, make a menu, and research. I was looking at James 1:5, and it's, if any of you lacks knowledge, let him ask of God, or if anyone of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to you to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So I know in this world there's like overabundance of information, and not even sure who's giving out the information and what voice to listen to all the time. But if you just ask God, he'll give you that understanding, and he'll show you what is right. And ultimately what it comes down to is Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So while it's great to nourish your body, I know you probably, I don't know if some of y'all are missing maybe more of the tips on how to eat healthy and get your body in check or whatever, but what it comes down to is we need to nourish our spirit man ultimately, and that can lead us to living a more healthful life. So that's kind of all I've had for you. Awesome. Know if you want to do Zumba.
Yeah.
I have one song. If you guys want to do
it. Bring it. Yeah.
Bring it.
Girl.
Zumba.
We need some Zumba.
And then you can pray for us.
Yes.
Yeah. You can pray the spirit of skinny Obama.
But Michelle, that was excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was excellent.
Good job.
And can we get your PowerPoint and do
mm-hmm.
it?
Yeah.
We're going to put it on our. We have a link that we can send out to folks and stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
Can I just mention one thing that we talked about?
I said a lot. So I probably forgot something.
Well, no, that's just that.
Can I take this?
I really appreciated how you.
Yeah, that's what we're wrong.
Weight of, you know, our bodies and taking care of our bodies on to the Lord, and that was one thing. Actually, looking at going into the apartment and all of that stuff. There was something you said yesterday. You said, you know, the Lord's not going to put us in a place where we can't get to what we need, whether it be, you know, if it's the organic or not, he's going to provide what we need. And I think that's really, you know, important that we put the weight on, you know, our Father. He's the one that's going to provide. So,
first of all, can you give the definition of organic? Because there's a lot of stuff.
That's
because it has an organic on the label, doesn't it?
Natural.
So what is the true definition of organic?
Oh, I don't know the true. I know when I was like learning about organic chemistry, that just means there's carbon and hydrogen in something. That's what an organic molecule is.
Okay.
I think organic, what it's trying to get at is for your preservatives and the genetic modifications, the changing of the DNA. But I know I was talking to my mom about corn. There was something about corn could never be that because like it's already genetically modified or something like that. I'll have to research more about that, but.
That is one of the most GMO products out there.
That wheat.
Doesn't have any GMO products, so if you wanna get corn there, that's what I understand.
And I know I've seen.
It's labeled, yeah.
And I know I've seen people will label stuff, but then they'll get caught and they actually are that. So that's what I'm saying, that's why I don't get caught up in all of that, because I feel like, they can lie about it, there's things where this, the wind can blow certain, you know, crops mix or whatever.
Right.
From other farms, and then they don't know it, but there's something else in their soil or something like that, which is, the more we farm and stuff like that, the more things are getting mixed together, so it's just harder to actually have anything that reddish or whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
Did you hear any lyrics?
Is that enough?
Any other questions?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is that enough?
Yeah, I don't think it's.
So is stevia considered a natural sweetener completely, totally, there's no modifications?
It's an herb.
I thought it was stevia, there's a lot of stevia that has maltodextrin or dextrin in it, so you have to look at the label, there's some stevia brands that are out there that are just 100% stevia leaf extract, that's what you want. But most of the, you know, the general brands that you'll see everywhere will say stevia and maltodextrin, which is very, very high on the glycemic index, and it will spike your blood sugar. So if you're trying to use stevia in place of sugar, it's better to have sugar in that instance.
So where do you find
the kind that I get is at Walmart.
Sorry. It's called Pure, and it's just stevia. Pure. Pure, P-Y-U-R-E is the kind that I use. But there are several brands that are out there. Just make sure on the ingredients, it just says stevia. And there's sometimes there's something called erythritol, which is a sugar alcohol, which is okay. It does not spike your blood sugar. So maybe you can talk about sugar alcohols.
Or you can buy the stevia plant.
Right.
Just take the leaves from the plant.
Yeah.
My dad
sure.
Had one.
Just stick it in.
I would say if you want to cut down on sodium, use spices, because that's not gonna harm, that's not really gonna add any harmful things. There probably is some harmful spice out there, I don't know, but it's gonna be, you can get the flavor without the salt by using the spice.
There are a lot of spices that have that maltodextrin or sugar, sorry.
There are a lot of spices that have sugar in them, even though they don't taste sweet.
Right.
So you have to check for anything that says dextrin or ose or something like that, it's added sugar. So if you can find spices that don't have it, or make your own spice mix instead of the blends, because they have put a whole lot of additives in it, which is doing the opposite of what you're trying to do.
Anybody else? Hold on, before you do that.
Where do you teach Zumba?
I'll be teaching at UNCG. Recwell, which is their recreation center. So I'll be starting in this fall. So I'm still like learning, getting my. So like, you're gonna see probably just
why I won't do today. No, usually when you bring that, it sort of stuck in the mouth, but
not at this one, because
would you like?
Oh, sure.
That works. You can take it now.
But
we can zoom while you're here, since she's saying.
Yeah,
I'm trying to do it this summer, but you're pre.
I'm going to move.
My shoes are missing.
That's for sure.
So pray for however holds your energy. We need help. So. Let it roll.
Father God.
Try it now.
Yeah. Is it on?
No. Yeah.
Father God, I just ask that you give us all the wisdom to know which foods we need to eat, Lord. help us to practice self-control and eating foods that aren't as healthful for us, God. Lord, I pray that we change our focus of in our view of food, God, that we don't just see it as something to fill us up or to satisfy our desires, Lord, but we take everything to you and we cast our cares on you, God. When we feel weak, Lord, just help us not to turn to food, but to turn to you. Give us the strength to make the right decisions, to live purposefully, to plan what we need to plan, and to be accountable for our decisions. God, I just ask that the decisions we make with our food, that they impact our lives in ways that we don't expect, that we are able to grow deeper to you because we are changing the way we view what brings us satisfaction, what brings us the fullness, God, and that it be you that brings us that fullness, God. Lord, I just pray for each person here that you honor the decisions that we make, that when we are eating healthy, that we are able to feel the energy that we may have lost, that we're able to have our bodies restored because we are making the decision to give you our desires of food, and that we're not sitting there in laziness or complacency, that we're able to look at who you create us to be and see that we can be even better than what we are now through you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now release the spirit of skinny upon us. Can I just say?
Yes, absolutely.
So the Lord's really been convicting me lately because the fruits of the spirit, you know, and there's, it's not an accident in the way the Lord put those in order in his word. The first one is love, because we, as humans, we remember usually the very first thing and the very last thing. So the first thing is love, and the last thing in that is self-control. And sometimes we leave that one off. But for me, you know, he's really bringing to the forefront that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we won't put sugar in our gas tanks in our car. So, you know. So I'm going to pray right now. Father, we just surrender ourselves to you, Lord. And God, we even pray as Jesus prayed, that it's not our will, but your will be done. Lord, we want that in our lives. And God, we just take authority over just lack of self-control, Father. God, that you would enable us by the power of your Holy Spirit to make good choices, Lord, and to make right choices. And Father, that you would help us to plan well. You know, most of us don't go on a vacation, Lord, without making some sort of plan. So, Father, I pray that you would bring that to the forefront in our lives, Lord, just to take care of these bodies that you've given us. And we thank you, Lord, more than anything, we're going to have new bodies in heaven. But, Lord, help us to take care of our bodies while we're here in the earth, Lord, and to be good stewards of what you've given us, in Jesus' name.
Let's just give Rochelle a round. Very, very awesome. Thank you so much. And Doris, thank you for the response, because that really was needed for us to come into alignment with the prayer that was loosed. And so before we depart, I know that there was some prayer needs. I wanted to pray over Crystal and Joya. Crystal just closed on a new home. So we had to move the UNCG prayer walk to September the 2nd. That's happens to be Labor Day weekend. So, you know, whosoever will can go do that. But we want to walk on UNCG's campus. We want to go to Bethania. I don't think it's that big. It's not far. It's only 30 minutes out. It's the first Moravian settlement. And then we want to walk Crystal's property and bless her home and all of that. So that's September the 2nd. And again, it's Labor Day weekend, and Chuck and Dutch are here on the 5th. And so if you haven't registered for that meeting in September, please do that. They have the Dale Halton Theater on CPCC campus, so that was kind of nice that we prayed there at CPCC. And the where we'll be for E4M starting in August will be on 6th Street, just below Davison and First Ward in Charlotte. You can see the city. It's on the bus line, and it's all this is all close in that area. And one of the things that I mentioned, the Global Spheres meeting was really awesome. We're hoping for the CD to come out. Chuck taught some of the things that he released during the conference, but the whole thing of alignment and just the whole overall conference in terms of stepping up, coming out of transition, out of wilderness, and into authority. There were several things that confirmed for me that now is the time for us to move into the city and take that. We're still, we'll do our county to county. We still have authority to do that, but the E4M meeting, and we'll just see what the Lord does. It's a Charlotte Housing Authority complex. They run the center. It's a multi-priced area. You'll see some townhomes and you'll see some houses in that area. And I like that it's a community center, so it has a gym, it has community activities. There's a daycare that's there. And they also have people who have businesses who rent offices there. So I think it's just gonna be a powerful statement of what an apostolic center can breathe into spiritually into an area. We'll see what the Lord does with all of that. But I'm really, really excited about this season. We've crossed over. It's a different Pentecost. The mega grace really is going to see the prodigals come in time for the harvest. And so that's why this message about our health, nutrition, and eating is so important, because we've got, the Lord showed me a good 15 years of bringing in the harvest. We have a window of this next 3 where it'll be a little bit easier because, you know, President Trump, honestly, he's putting things back in order by the Lord. And so there'll be a wind where we can really step in and do some things. And depending upon what we do, will depend upon what the 12 years after that will look like, because it really all depends on us. It depends on the believers, the church, and so forth. But the Lord has roused himself, and he is going through. And so even though there's chaos seemingly out there, be like that eagle. There was a message Kyle Searcy loose about the eagle and flying above it, and I can feel that. We had tremendous favor even with this building. They're not open on Sundays, so they made special arrangements for us to be there. And so just the favor, I mean, even going out there, I mean, people were giving up seats and we got free stuff, and it was just little things, but the favor of God is really going before us. So that mega grace, I'm really expecting to see the miracles of God. And so I know that there are some special needs. And so we've prayed some things during worship, but if there's anything else or any other agreement, we really want to pray and stand with one another, because it's real power and breakthrough. So even though something's been hanging for 25 years kind of thing, it's a different season. So praise the Lord.